Welcome to The Stare Down, sports talk and real estate, with Sean Carpenter of Coldwell Banker in Columbus, Ohio, Bill Risser of Fidelity National Title in Tampa, Florida, and Todd Meininger of Cummins, Georgia. Listen in as they discuss the week in sports and toss in a pinch of real estate too. Now your hosts, Sean, Todd and Bill.
Hey, greetings, everyone, and welcome to The Stare Down, episode 62, and it's a happy Father's Day edition. So to father of Kevin, Bill Risser down in St. Pete, and father of Scott and Kate in Cummings, Georgia, and I am father of Riley and Ryan up here in Columbus, Ohio. Happy Father's Day, boys. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing great. Happy Father's Day to both of you. I'm relaxed. The U.S. Open's over. It was something we're going to talk about. I'll just leave it at that. And I'm really excited to be here. How about you, Todd? What's going on?
Oh, man. Happy and lucky, just like you boys. Had a great day. Spent time with Scott and Kate. Obviously, we had a nice little cookout. And I was lucky enough to call my dad and wish him a happy Father's Day. And seeing your post, Sean, earlier, and Bill, I'm not sure about if your parents are still alive, but I read, Sean, your post about spending time at your dad's is it tombstone, mausoleum, having a beer with him.
And it's called a niche, but he's just, you know, he got cremated, but he's just up in the wall, so to speak. But I sit there with him. And funny, so I've been doing this for, you know, 17 years, and I'm sitting there, got my sunglasses on, just kind of in my own little zone, sitting on the ground. And this lady walks past and she goes, "Are you the boy that comes and drinks beer with his dad?" And I said, "I am." And she goes, "Where's your beer?" And it was by my side. And I lifted up and showed her. She goes, "I saw you 2 years ago here, and that is the coolest tradition." And so someone saw me on Father's Day a couple years ago at the exact same place. And she recognized me. So that was kind of cool.
Wow. That's great. I love that.
Yeah, definitely cool. Glad you could spend time with him and keep his memory alive. And I noticed you were drinking a very good Georgia beer, Cosmic Debris, a double IPA. Very good in Athens, exactly. Georgia.
Little honor of my dad going to University of Georgia, so I thought I'd break out the Athens beer.
Before we talk sports, can I talk beer with you, beer snobs?
Yeah. Please.
So yesterday I was up at my favorite breakfast joint, and I noticed this massive line that stretched for three blocks down Central Avenue. And one of the people in line came into the diner behind me, and he's dragging a cooler. And I said, "What's going on next door?" He goes, "Oh, they released this special beer. It's a double barrel vanilla stout, limited edition. And it's a two bottle limit per person." I go, "Really? What are they getting per bottle?" $35. So wow. I went and bought two. Isn't that what you're supposed to do when you hear about something like that? So it's here still. We're shipping one to my son, Kevin. Somehow we got to figure out how to wrap a bottle of beer securely enough and make sure maybe it stays ground instead of going in the air. I don't know. Pressurized.
No, you want it in the air. Ground, they throw it around. They'll take better care. Yeah,
we'll pack it really good, and then ship one to him. He was excited, and then Cindy and I will crack the other, in about a week or so when I hit my other goal. So it's exciting.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's. I thought that was a story you guys would appreciate. Cycle Brewing on Central in St. Pete. So
I saw that post. I thought that's cool stuff, Bill.
Yeah, for sure. So guys, let's talk golf. Let's start with golf, and we won't forget about the two sports that ended last week after our last podcast, NHL and NBA, but let's talk golf because the three of us have been pretty much the last 72, well, really longer than 72 hours since Thursday. We've been kind of eyes glued to the U.S. Open, the 117th edition up in Erin Hills outside of Milwaukee. Todd, let's start with you, kind of just your initial thoughts as Brooks Koepka becomes the seventh in a row, or seventh major winner in a row. That's a first time winner. Three stroke victory. It turns out to be a 3-stroke victory over Brian Harman and Hideki Matsuyama. So what are your thoughts, Todd? What'd you pick up watching the golf this week?
God, just a fun 4 days of watching golf. I know traditionally this goes way against the grain of the U.S. Open, right? A lot of low scoring. There was some chatter back and forth, and I'm sure we'll address it between Justin Thomas's 63 versus Johnny Miller's. I think between us texting, I was kind of championing why be happy for the 63. Why do we have to compare? But it's also why we do what we do as sports fans. We always love to compare, right? So I thought the course, you know, played as advertised. If you did a little research beforehand, which I happened to do, because I was lucky enough to be in a hotel and couldn't change my TV. So I was on Fox Sports 1 and watched an hour of the overview of the course. Big wide fairways. It's a second shot course. Low scores. I think 16 under won it. Really was rooting for and thought Ricky put himself in great position. Ricky Fowler. And if you watch the round today, how many birdie or par putts did he miss that just were just razor thin, almost get in. So what could have been for Ricky? And I'll congratulations to Brooks Koepka. First time winner, went to Florida State. I'll overlook that, but he dominated today. He did what he had to do. But I can't go back to thinking what would have been if Phil played this course. I think this was a Phil Mickelson course, and I think maybe he would have gotten over the hump if he was around to play, but we'll never know. And again, that's the beauty of sports.
Awesome. So, Bill, how about you? What was your take on the 117th edition of the U.S. Open?
Look, it was very fun to watch records be broken. That's always fun to see someone chasing history. But it's not what I'm looking for at a U.S. Open, right? I'm looking at that. I want to see at the U.S. Open, I want the pros to look like me struggling at the Muni on the weekend. And it's something I've just come to love. I don't care if they hate it for 1 week. They've got, you know, they're in Connecticut next week and then go tear that course up, right? The Hartford, I think. So for me, it's all about, you know, that true test of golf. And I guess for me, maybe the weirdest thing is how do you explain Justin Rose, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Henrik Stenson, all these guys missing a cut on what we're saying is an easy course. And especially an event where their whole years are built around being ready for the four majors, and they had done everything they could possibly do to be ready for the four majors, this the biggest major for an American for sure, and maybe anyone, and they don't perform. That was just, how do you explain that, Sean?
First time ever, right? Top three seeds didn't make the cut in a major. Is that true? First time?
That's right. Probably pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
We were talking on the golf course this morning, and you have all these, you know, I hate to say no names because Brian Harman won a tour event less than a month ago at the Wells Fargo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tommy Fleet was a established player on the European tour. And certainly Hideki Matsuyama is maybe not in the same conversation as some of the people we were talking about. But, you know, they played the same course that Jason Day and Justin Rose and DJ and
McIlroy
played. And today was the fourth round that we watched today. Was a little different than yesterday because yesterday, and I think I texted both of you guys, I've never seen more putts go in from outside of, you know, 4 feet. I mean, there was putts going in every time they cut to show another hole. You knew what was happening.
Yeah.
Was the putts going in today, as Todd said, they were just kind of sliding by. I mean, I don't know if the pace changed. I don't know if the wind dried out the greens because you think it would have sped them up if anything, but they didn't look to be any different speed. It just was a, you know, clearly the shots were there to be made. Justin Thomas yesterday played one of the finest rounds of golf I've ever seen. I mean, the creativity he had to use, the putt on hole number five where his belt buckle was facing the hole and he went up onto the fringe and then it curled back in. The 3-wood on 15 where he didn't convert for an eagle, but that thing came down like a feather coming down onto the ground. And then on 2 3-woods on 18. I mean, think about this, guys. 18 today was playing 681 yards. 681. And Ricky and
Koepka.
You know, Koepka, they hit 3-wood to the green. You know, I think they hit driver today, but yesterday Justin Thomas, it was playing just 640. And Justin hit 3-wood. So it was a big course. But it was a wide area landing course. We didn't see near as much bunkers as we predicted on Wednesday's special edition. We didn't see a lot of, you know, we certainly saw balls in the fescue, and those guys didn't make it to the end.
Yeah. I think that talking about it being a wide open course and how the USGA had an opportunity, in my opinion, I know there's not much you can do when the rain comes that late. When it rains really hard Tuesday and Wednesday, that's going to have an effect on Thursday and Friday for sure. But there had to be something. I mean, maybe those pins were too easy yesterday. The placements could have been a little tougher. I know they said they toughened them up today, and maybe that's part of the reason those putts were just missing, Todd. But, you know, the USGA had an opportunity to – they saw what was happening. And maybe just – and I think we talked about it. Why not double cut, triple cut, roll them, something. Let's do something to make the greens treacherous. And they never really got treacherous. Although today we saw a couple putts from the fringe to the fringe. You know, every now and then it happened. But,
Well, I mean, Ricky Fowler came out on Thursday and set a first round record, right? Shot a 65, I believe. And he just couldn't get it going. But even that fescue, there was, I want to say on 12, you guys are better at this than I am, 12, 11, 13, one of those holes, Koepka finally blinked, right? And he hooked it drive, and it went 20 yards in the fescue, as they like to call it. But by Sunday at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, everyone had walked so much on it that it wasn't even penalized by being there, right?
Yeah, you get outside the ropes, that happens pretty quick, even on the first day. But so if you gotta get a miss, you gotta really miss.
Right. So he did a good job of really missing. Right. And two things, and I don't think we're done with this, but is there any doubt in your mind? I guess maybe I know I appreciate how tough golf is. And I've listened to a lot of Nick Faldo, and he talks about this all the time. To me, there's no doubt in my mind that JT, Justin Thomas, shot that 63. But how can you even come close to duplicating that on Sunday, right? So to me, it was no surprise. It's no knock on him, but it was no surprise that he fell out kind of early just because it's such a mental grind. It's such a tough sport. We'll talk about Johnny Miller, and he did it on a final round. But real quick before I forget, Bill, you gave a lot of shout-outs to what a great website the U.S. Open provided this week. If you were watching on Fox, what a great website. And that was fun to watch a little of that for sure.
Just even being on the leaderboard on the site, it self-corrected itself in real time. Yeah. You didn't have to hit refresh. Mm-hmm. It somehow had a feed that it already refreshed for you as putts were dropping around the course. It was amazing to watch.
Look, we've had that technology on the baseball side of things for 15 years, right? And I'm watching a baseball game, and I've got my fantasy team up. As I can watch the strike occur, and then it pops up a strike within seconds. A second or two later, the count on the batter is 0-1. That's like because my pitcher's pitching against that batter. It's incredible, right? And what, you know what that's done? It's not magic. They have a dude sitting at every ballpark. Sure. Who does nothing but update the stats as they go. Click, click, click. Yeah. And what a great job.
But the picture in picture of the featured group.
It worked flawlessly. I was sitting at a Village Inn. I'm at lunch on Thursday. I'm like, I wonder if I can swap this. How fast does it work? It was instantaneous swap between the two. Kudos to USGA for killing that. And you know, they owed that to us after the debacle last year.
So. You know, Todd, I want to go back to what you were talking about with Justin Thomas there. Cause you know, Bill, it's happened to us, you know, between Saturday and Sundays, you know, you have a good round on Saturday and you come back and you're excited for Sunday's round. And then before you know it, you wish you didn't even tee off. I think a lot of it, Todd, probably is, you know, the first putt that JT missed today, you say to your, in his head, he's thinking like yesterday that went in. Mm-hmm. And then you start thinking like, oh, maybe I'm off a little bit. And then he hits it in the heather or the fescue. And you just start questioning like, where was this yesterday? Or why wasn't I, or, you know, it's such a weird game. But it happens with baseball players. It happens with pitchers, you know, pitchers throw a no hitter and then come back the next day and get, you know, they're out of in the third inning.
Yeah. These are the world's best athletes. And, you know, side note, Sean, you and I have talked, this is why we do Headspace, right? We're trying to live in the moment and, Headspace is a meditation app trying to live in the moment and just day to day. And these guys, you just said to Bill, Saturday to Sunday, Sean, I'm that way when I birdie three and then I go to four and I back it up with a triple bogey.
Yeah, that's called a that's called a PBFU.
Yeah, exactly, right? The
post-birdie F-up, yes.
Yeah. And I'm like, God, I felt so good. And going back to the recreational golfer, one good hole brings me back the next round, right?
Of course.
I could be plus 12 after six holes, and then I par a hole. I'm like, yeah, this is fun. I can do this. I can do this, right? Yeah. So anyway.
Hey, I'll give you one other observation. Have you ever seen a longer walk from the 18th green to a scoring tent in your life. It was like a quarter mile to get to the scoring tent, and they're walking through nothing but farmland. I'm like, couldn't move the tent a little closer? Why are we
up the hill? Well, in Chambers Bay, they had a trailer for the scoring tent because I played golf this weekend with a guy who played Chambers Bay a couple weeks after the U.S. Open. To go from the clubhouse to the first tee at Chambers Bay, it's a 5-minute bus ride. You actually get in like a school bus or a shuttle bus, and it takes you 5 minutes down the hill from the course. So from 18 up the hill. That was interesting the way they had shuttle buses or shuttle carts waiting for people to come in.
That's the driving range of Pebble, right? That's another one. You jump in a shuttle, it takes you like
it's a
10-minute ride up the street.
Yeah. Listen, I want to give a hat to Brian Harman. It didn't win, but I guarantee you he gained some fans. He's got a solid game. He's a little kid. 145 pounds, they said. You know, Justin Thomas, not much bigger. But that kid played a big game. I think Koepka being in the Ryder Cup had to have helped him. You know, he's just a big hitter. I mean, he's a big, strong hitter. If Matsuyama could putt, you know, he might be holding the trophy. He played well. I thought it was a fun tournament. I said it on Twitter yesterday. I think I was tweeting back and forth with Billy Horschel. Fans were you know, raging about the course, and it was too easy, and it wasn't really a U.S. Open. And I think I said, look, it's golf, and we're all going to watch it anyway, so we can bitch all we want, but we're still going to watch it, right?
Yeah.
So it was fun to watch, and looking back, who knows? Koepka may break out of the pack, and you know, you look at some of the first-time winners in that streak. You've got Jason Day. We expect he'll win another.
Yep.
Jimmy Walker, not sure. Danny Willett, doubt it.
Dustin Johnson, yes.
Dustin Johnson, probably yes. Mm-hmm. Who won the British last year? Stenson probably has a chance to, you know, win another. So we'll see. It's good for golf. It's just such a different landscape now than we had with Tiger.
Yeah, Stenson's in his 40s. That's the only thing he's got going against him. But I think I texted you guys, and we do not have to go on this. This is more of a statement. If you disagree, jump in. Has there ever been a bigger fall from grace from a major winner than Danny Willett? It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. Please go.
Yeah, he lump him right in there with the Trevor Immelmans and the people like that, you know, the Masters is the easiest, I think, of the majors to win.
But he's been missing the cut at +9, like, consistently. It's not – I mean, it seems like – and I don't want to jump – I don't want to, you know, pile on, but every time I check his score, it's bad, right?
He can handle it. You're okay.
He has a lifetime in Augusta, right? He'll be okay.
All right. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, he's good. Hey, we probably want to recap the actual
– No, we don't need to do that, do we?
Oh, sure we do. Yeah, let's
– Hey, Sean, real quick. And did you see Joe Buck, his huge gaffe at the after Koepka won?
He called the girlfriend the wrong name?
Yes.
Yes, that was funny.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Who corrected it? Was it Faxon?
Faxon.
Well, I have no idea. But
then Joe said, oh, apparently he's dating someone else now.
That was great.
I mean, here at the Stare Down, luckily, every once in a while, we can invoke the edit button. I'm sure Joe would have loved to have the edit button, right? Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
It's like he had a little card with notes about his girlfriend, and no one told him it had changed.
Yeah.
You know, he was quick to drop that she's the captain of the Florida State volleyball team. And then all of a sudden, Faxon said, no, it's a different girl.
Hopefully it doesn't ruin his current relationship as she's grilling him right now. He's like, honey, I just won the U.S. Open. Are you still seeing her? What's going on?
What does Joe Buck know that I don't know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Poor thing. Hopefully that's just a minor speed bump in their life.
Oh, so I know Bill doesn't want to hear it because Bill won our bowl pool and Bill won our March Madness.
I know I didn't win this pool.
But I do want to talk about interesting the way we did the scoring. If you missed the cut, you got 100 points. So let me just
– By the way, that was my idea. Thanks.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. So I finished with 426 points. Bill finished with 596 points.
And who came in the last drum roll,
Todd,
please?
Finished with 613 points.
Ooh, it's close.
High score wins,
so,
right?
So if you look at it, I had two guys miss the cut. Bill had five people miss the cut, and Todd had four people miss the cut. Now, of my finishers, I had a 15.75 average finish. Bill had a 19 0.2 average finish, and Todd had a 35.5 average finish.
Again, high score wins, right?
I will say, Bill did pick the winner. Brooks Koepka was one of his picks.
And you picked a fifth place guy.
Fifth place and ninth place.
So, ninth place.
So you got 1, 5, and 9, and you didn't win?
Did anybody else have 3 in the top 10?
No, I had.
I just wanted to point that out.
I had the number 2. I had Hideki Matsuyama. So, but yeah, interesting. But I just, you know, my guys finished, you know, kind of close, but not there. No,
and a bunch of 20s and 30s are important in this game.
Yeah.
So, Sean, you won the Electoral College. Bill won the popular vote. Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm saying this. I had 3 C notes. I had 3 100s, and Sean beat me by about 1.5. It wasn't like he should have destroyed me, right?
Yeah. Right. Wow, that's tight. That's tight.
Sorry.
It was interesting. So that was kind
of fun.
Congrats,
Sean. So, congrats.
Yeah. So, guys, I don't even know what course is the Open Championship on.
I don't know where they're going.
Give me a second. I'll look. Yeah,
okay.
Look
I'm going to find it.
I got it.
Maybe we'll do another top 10 again. Like, that was kind of fun to follow because it really was fun on Thursday and Friday.
I have a question.
It is in Royal Birkdale.
Royal Birkdale.
Okay. Birkdale. All right.
So talk to me about the Eastern time zone and the British Open, because I got a schooling today on the U.S. Open. What time does everything start on the British Open?
Yeah, it's early. You get up at 4 a.m. usually. It comes on ESPN.
Okay.
And then the leaders tee off about 8:30.
Okay. Good.
You know, so 8:30 was leaders tee off actually about 9:30, 9:30 or 10. So you're done by 2:30. So it's one of those rounds you can either play early and then watch the leaders, or you can tee off after the British.
In Phoenix, we always watch the British Open together as a group, then went and played golf because it's 1 a.m. that the leaders are teeing off. I mean, the first tee times go off on Thursday and Friday, and then I can do the math. It's 3 hours, but that'll be better. It'll still be better. I don't have to. It's like Wimbledon's coming up, and for Cindy, that's going to be great. There's no more getting up that early to watch.
Yeah, it truly is breakfast at Wimbledon when you watch it on the East Coast.
Correct. That's awesome.
And Thursday and Friday, the replays are fun. I think on the weekends, replays aren't as good. But Thursday and Friday, you'll come home from work and you'll be like,
awesome.
This guy's on hole 2, and then you'll see, and you're like, oh, yeah, he finished at 3 under or whatever.
Yeah.
So. Cool.
So, all right, so Royal Birkdale, and then we head down to Wells Fargo this year, or not Wells Fargo, at Quail Hollow is the PGA.
Yeah.
And that's just got a great finishing set of holes there. The long par 3 and then that creek that runs all the way down 18.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting to see. Maybe we can get some of the big guys to come out of the woodwork.
And Sean, real quick, I'm interested, before we play the British, just aren't there only like a handful of courses that they play the British Open in? Like,
yeah, they call it the British rotation. There's about six to seven courses.
The Rota.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it does rotate around St. Andrews, Royal Birkdale, Carnoustie.
Liverpool?
Muirfield. Liverpool's not one of them. Royal St. Anne's, Lytham.
Okay.
And which one, what's the one I'm missing? Not Carnoustie. The one where
I'm not sure. We'll find it. Hey, can I give one more shout out? I know we're spending way too much time on golf, but we're making up for last week. So a good friend of mine, Alan Shear. Alan, I met him when he was 6. His dad is a close friend of mine, Tom Shear. Played a lot of golf. We've been in this fantasy league for 30 years together. Alan Shear is playing in the PGA Professional Championship up in Sun River Resort, right? So he's the head pro at Steel Canyon. A little known fact, I got him the job when he was 16 to work in the cart barn. He's now the head pro. So, yeah. Anyways, he shot a 2-over today in the first day. And, Sean, you know this well. 312 PGA professionals around the country show up for this big tournament. And I think I know the top 90 after the first two rounds. There's two courses. After two rounds, the top 90 in ties advance to the third round, and then the top 70 advance to the final round. Well, Alan, 2-over on the tougher course today. He's currently, because they're still playing as we talk, he went out very early, but he's currently tied for 110th. So his +2, if he can have a nice day tomorrow, even par, he's in for the third round. So
that's great.
That's exciting, and I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, Bill, that's great. No, a friend of mine, Bob Sowards, is a former champion of that. He's a client of mine. I helped him and his wife sell their house. Worked with him at Brookside Country Club when I was doing my internship for University of Florida.
Nice.
And he was just a great player then. He's just kind of one of those lifetime assistant pros who plays a good game.
Tell Todd what he got for winning that this tournament.
He gets into the PGA Championship.
He's in the PGA, Todd. He gets really? The PGA Championship. Yes, the winner of this tournament.
He actually played the PGA when David Toms won it in Todd's backyard there at Atlanta Athletic Club.
Nice.
And I believe he was in the PGA at, gosh, I want to say either Baltusrol. He's played some good big courses, you know, and it's kind of neat to, or maybe it was Medina when, no, that would have been too early when Tiger and Rory.
Allen's
That's great. Good for your buddy.
Yeah, he's never qualified for US Open, but played in two USAMs before he turned pro. And, so this is his second time, and he didn't make the cut the first time, so we're hoping better
things. That's cool.
So anyways.
And Sean, just to end golf talk, in 2014, they played at Royal Liverpool. Only 12 times ever have they played. It's probably not in the rotation, but there's got to be a handful of clubs that get spot starts. And that's
they probably compliments,
compliments of Google. I just quickly looked it up. So,
all right, very good. Very good. All right, so guys, let's wrap up the NBA. We came on the air last Sunday, and we were heading into what was going to be Monday's tip for Game 5 with the Golden State Warriors holding a 3-1 advantage after Cleveland winning in Game 4, not letting the Warriors sweep the Cavs. But then in Game 4, or in Game 5, Golden State did what I think we thought they were going to do. They won 129 to 120. Sorry, Todd. They won by 9.
You guys remember that?
And
I'm like a cornerback in the NFL. Short memory. Just got to move on.
Let's move on.
What do you guys think of the way the NBA wrapped up? Bill, I'll start with you on this one.
You know, what we thought, I guess, but it went an extra game. I think that Golden State with Durant is going to be trouble for the NBA for the next couple of years. If they can keep that team together, who's out there that's going to give them any trouble? There's nobody in the West. And unless Cleveland can do something a little bit different and create something, you know, bring somebody in to help LeBron a little bit more, obviously, I don't think it's hard to sit here and predict this, but they're really just a couple of plays away from 3 in a row headed off towards who knows what, right? Sure. So it's pretty impressive. And the fact that Jerry West is leaving is interesting, right? He's going to go to the Clippers. He's been on the board kind of with the Warriors, helping kind of drive and guide them to this path they've gone down. He's the one that said, get Draymond Green, right? He's the one who said, no, keep Klay Thompson. He's looking like a genius. He's Jerry West. He is a genius. So that's good news for LA fans. He's going down to the Clippers. But I'm sure everything he's set in place for Golden State is going to last a few more years. That's a young team.
You know, it's going to be interesting, though, to watch. And it's such a different game, even from when Jordan and Pippen played, the way the social media is and the spotlight and the need to be a star. Mm-hmm. Will this team be able to stay together? Will Steph be able to be okay not being the guy? Is Klay Thompson going to go, gosh, I can go to Utah and be the guy. I can go to the Pelicans and be the guy. You know, back in the day when the Bulls were kind of running their dynasty, there was Jordan, and Pippen was clearly number two. And then you had a lot of good role players. You know, you had the Brad Sellers, and you had Bill Wennington, and you had
Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr, and you had B.J. Armstrong, and just these players that loved to go along for the ride. It's going to be interesting to watch. You saw a couple things shake out with the end of the season. Paul George is an unrestricted free agent. He said to the Pacers he wants to stay for one more year. And all the talk is he wants to go to the Lakers after that, because there was some talk about him maybe going to the Cavs to help out LeBron. And then you saw the other move that happened today. The Celtics traded their first pick to the Sixers. And all signs point to the Sixers taking Markelle Fultz, the point guard, 1 year at Washington. So that team has so many tall, good players if they stay healthy. Point guard may be what they need. So it'd be interesting to see what the Celtics do with that pick trade and how they're going to maneuver themselves, because they're the one team I think that's put them and the Washington Wizards are maybe positioned best to challenge the Cavs.
Maybe Toronto, too. Maybe, yeah. So, there's definitely someone out there to challenge the Cavs. That's not the problem for the NBA. Who's out there to challenge the Warriors right now?
Sure.
So, Todd, Todd?
Todd, what do you think about game five? Anything?
Gosh, I just think Golden State is just what a team, right? They are 3-1 last year. I think, Sean, you alluded to it. They this could be a three-peat for them. I don't think guys like – I think guys like Klay Thompson and Draymond, I think they get it. And I think they know they're a part of something special, and I don't think they want to be the man in Utah. I mean, think about it. Golden State's such an organic story, you know. Miami was built. The Heat were built. Cleveland, to a certain extent, not as much, but they brought back LeBron, so they were built. I mean, Golden State, just an organic group of guys that, you know, lightning in a bottle, struck fire. I think we talked a little last week. I think Mark Jackson built the foundation, and Steve Kerr just took it over the top. So easy to predict, right? But I'd be surprised if Golden State doesn't continue to just dominate. And I don't think they're going to lose anyone with ego. I think they're built from the ground up organically as a team, and it's going to be fun to watch. The curious thing is going to be what LeBron does. I mean, he's already rumblings that, you know, this team wasn't a super team, and gosh, he's the best player of the era. You know, Kevin Durant's number two, 1B, 1A, what do you want? He's the best, but, you know, gosh, I just wish sometimes he would, you know, not say things to, you know, they're a great team, and they won last year, and he's been to the finals how many years in a row, just kind of go through the process, well, right?
He probably shouldn't be the one pointing any fingers at building super teams.
Right.
That's the irony, right?
He went to Miami and you know, he
– Well, he created the idea.
Kevin Love. And, right. You know,
he created the idea, and he's the reason the NBA is incorporated that incredible $70 million stay-with-your-team cap exception, right, that – sure. It's to prevent super teams from happening. And so they're trying everything they can. But could you imagine put LeBron on the Warriors and put Durant on the Cavs?
Mm.
What would that look like?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see if LeBron and KD take that mantle. Can he take it for the whole season? And how will that look? And we'll see. You know, I don't think any of the three of us are diehard NBA fans. We follow it because we're sports fans, and they are fun athletes to watch. It's just a different game than the college game we all love. NHL, let's jump over that really quick. That series ended after we went off the air on episode 61 with the Penguins winning what was a 0-0 game for a long, long time in that game. And then they scored a goal at the end of about three and a half minutes to go.
Yep.
Scored, and they kicked in an empty netter to win 2-0. And then we get to see the celebration. Always a little less dramatic on visitors' ice. That was the first win, though, at the opposing arena in the series. The last four times, as I stated, last week, the last four times that Pittsburgh's been able to clinch on the road, they've done it. And Sidney Crosby wins the Conn Smythe for the MVP. A little different how they do it in the NHL. They do the MVP for the whole playoffs, not just the final series. So they, I think Malkin probably could have, and Murray certainly could have maybe deserved the MVP of the finals, but they gave it to Sidney Crosby, back-to-back winner on that, and back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Any thoughts, Bill, on NHL and how it finished?
Frustrating, I guess, if you're a Predators fan, to have a goal taken away in the second period.
Man, that was such a quick whistle.
Mm. So, you know, that's going to eat at them. Well, for some of those people, for the rest of their lives, that's how it works when you're a fan. That's the definition of fanatic. So, yeah, I wish that, you know, once again, I hate it when there's that kind of a thing that happens that makes you question and wonder. Because if the Predators go up 1-0, the whole game changes. There's a whole different dynamic.
Of course.
The Predators go back and they're playing defense more. You know, who knows if Pittsburgh makes a mistake trying to make something happen, and all of a sudden the Predators destroy them that game, and we go off back to Pittsburgh for game six. That's the only thing. Other than that, I was just, fingers were crossed, it made it to overtime. And I was so disappointed when they scored with 3.5 minutes. You know, it's just something, like we said before many, many times, I just wanted that game in OT so we could have that, that drama. That's it for me.
Good run for Nashville, Todd.
You know, for whatever reason, none probably good. I was all in for Smashville, right? Just wanted a game seven, wanted an overtime. So for all the wrong reasons, I'm sure if they're hockey purists listening, they're probably shaking their head. But I wanted Nashville to win, and But it was a good game. And the beauty of hockey is 1-0. When you pull your goal, you have an extra skater. And with 2 seconds left, you can score and you go in overtime. So it's unlike any sport. I said it before, they're skating, guys. I mean, come on. How good are they? But it's unlike any sport where with a clock, you know, you can do things and it's never done. So it was fun and exciting, but I would love to have Nashville win.
Yeah, and I'm sure for Bill, maybe the same way I'm thinking, it's exciting to see a team like Nashville make it that far because it gives the Lightning, who've you know, they've raised a Stanley Cup, and certainly for me as a Blue Jackets fan here in Columbus, it gives us a chance that, you know, maybe next year is the year we get over the hump and win that first playoff series. Certainly getting the playoffs is really what you play for the whole season, and then survive in advance, and it's that the ultimate in playoff activity.
I've got a one quick NHL note. The expansion draft's coming up, and you know their new team. We might have talked about this, but they're
the Golden Knights. Vegas,
the Golden Knights. And do you know who the owner of the Golden Knights is? Chairman and founder of Fidelity National Financial, our parent company. Bill
Road Ford. Trip.
he is the owner of the Golden Knights,
and so he'll be your guest on episode 100.
He's not. It's the guy right below him, Randy Quirk, who's the CEO. Okay. But Bill's a very interesting guy. Started with Fidelity back in the early 80s and took it up to we're a Fortune 300 company now, largest title insurer in the country, or the world. Excuse me, I don't want to get that wrong. But interesting name with the Golden Knights. He is a graduate of West Point, and the West Point are the Black Knights, right?
That's right.
And and so they couldn't use the term Black Knights for the hockey team. There was some other reason that couldn't be used, so they became the Golden Knights, and that's a little bit
kind of a double entendre with Las Vegas, the Golden Knights, you know.
It kind of does. It works that way, but I'll tell you the real reason is good. Bill is huge West Point supporter.
That's cool. So NHL's going unbalanced, and they're going to have 31 teams.
Yeah, they are. That's going to be weird. Well, I mean, it'll kind of work. It's different than baseball, right? Because when you have an unbalanced schedule in baseball, for a while they were 15-15 instead of being 16-14, or now they're back to 15-15. You notice it when there's 6 games a week, sometimes 7. But hockey, it's going to play out okay, I think. Teams have days off.
And guess what's coming, guys? Team number 32 is coming. Right?
Sure.
Is it back? Where is it going to be?
I don't know, but I'm saying give it 2 years. It's coming, right? They're not gonna leave it unbalanced.
No, well, and you would think if it's going to be anywhere, it's going to be somewhere west, and so you're looking at either Seattle or Portland.
Yeah. Did you see what the rights, what it costs to get into the league? $500 million expansion. Yeah.
I was going to guess 750. So
yeah, 500.
That's impressive. That's hefty. By the way, when Harmon was putting his last putt there for bogey on 18, when Paul Azinger said, "This is a $500,000 putt," I got chills on my hands, you know, just thinking about that poor kid, that kid's wife.
I missed it. Did he make it?
Yes.
He made it.
It was a tricky little 3.5-footer, though.
if he would have got up and down for par, he would have won it outright.
I mean, he'd been immaculate up and down all week long, and that chip he had on 18 was something you and I hit.
And the same thing Koepka did, you know, left it short on that ridge.
Well, he had a weird stance, right?
He did.
But it was a pure easy little chip for Harmon. It just, I don't know if it was just the everything just left his body. He's done.
Yeah, anyways, I think so.
Hard not to talk open. All right, go ahead.
Hey, guys, baseball really quick. We do it each week because next week, gosh, there's no golf. There is golf, but there's no major golf. There's no basketball to talk. There's no hockey to talk. So we'll be focused a little more on basketball or on baseball as well as the College World Series, which is happening right now. Todd, give me an update.
Florida's up 3-0 in the bottom of the sixth. Yeah, okay. Bottom of the sixth.
Florida scored 3 runs. Holy cow. Okay, sorry. That's a news story right there. Yeah.
So just running through the division leaders, Yankees have a half game lead over the Red Sox, who are playing right now, versus Astros. Cleveland has taken over the central lead, and that division's gone to 3 or 4 different teams. 2-game lead there. Houston maintains their 11.5 game lead. And then over in the National League, Bills League, Washington with a big lead, 10.5 over both the Mets and the Braves. are in second place.
What?
Wow. What a bad division that East is.
they're under 500, by the way. Nobody's over 500 but the Nats.
That's not a second place wild card threat right there.
No, I don't think so. Milwaukee has a 2.5 game lead over the Cubs, which have made it back to 500.
Yeah.
And the Rockies, one game lead over Arizona and the Dodgers. Boy, those teams are
look at those second place teams in the West. They have an 8-game lead on the wild card over the teams in the Central. Now, they got to beat each other up as time goes on, but they have an 8-game lead in the wild card.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It's almost settled it's going to be Milwaukee or Chicago has the only shot of stealing a wild card. One's going to win, one might have a chance.
Bill, as good as your Diamondbacks are, they have the best home record. They've only lost 9 games at home. And the Yankees have only in single digits still.
Wow.
At home. So pretty impressive.
Hey, speaking of the Rockies, did you hear what Nolan Arenado did today? So nothing more dramatic than a cycle in baseball, right? Let me give you something a little bit more dramatic than just a cycle. How about he comes up in the bottom of the ninth, down by a run, hits a home run walk-off to complete the cycle.
That's even better.
That was today for Nolan Arenado, who's a beast. So the Rockies, man, their offense is unbelievable. And
did he go natural cycle, single, double, triple, homer?
I don't know the order. So that'd be awesome too, but I have to look that up. And I'll tell you what, one thing that's just turned their season around is they've always had trouble with a closer. This kid, Greg Holland, I think he came out of the American League and was injured, and it's one of those guys they picked up. He blew his first save after 24 consecutive saves. So a team that's in the running, that's got a closer they can count on, especially pitching in Colorado, that's pretty impressive. So the Rockies are going to be fun to watch. They're going to be tough. So
that's great. Todd, did you have any chance to pick up any soccer this week?
Oh man, always have soccer. Real quick with baseball, don't sleep on the Cubs. I think they start off slow. I think they're going to be in it to win it. And Bill, Giants and Dodgers, I was watching some late night baseball. They're huge rivals, right?
Oh, yes.
And what's crazy about it is
Giants, Dodgers, Yankees, Sox. There's no two, not even Cardinals, Cubs count.
What's crazy is aren't the origins from when they're both in New York, Brooklyn and the New York Giants?
That's where their colors come from, right? Mm-hmm. So the Mets colors are the Dodgers and the Giants. Right. When the Mets came in 62, they took the orange from the Giants and the blue from the Dodgers and made them.
Wow.
They both moved out to the West Coast one year after each other.
Right.
Yeah. In the late 50s. I remember the Dodgers played in the Coliseum for a couple of years while they were building Dodgers. I don't remember. I know that they were building the Dodger Stadium while they were in the Coliseum. But yeah, but that's the genesis of the colors for the Mets, because two teams left when they got the expansion team. They said, okay, we'll take orange and blue.
That's cool.
It's a great
Isn't it great there on the West Coast now? And they still hate each other.
It's perfect. And it's 50, 60, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
They moved, but it's still a lot of fun.
Awesome. So, Sean, I texted you. Your Columbus Crew came down to Atlanta, and they did not come out on top. I think Atlanta won
3-1.
3-1, 3-0. Yeah. So, God, they should be in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They're playing at Bobby Dodd, Georgia Tech, and it's sold out. I mean, people are all in to support the
United Red. What's capacity there?
Shoot, I want to say 50,000. I could look it up. I want to say, and they don't always have the full stadium open for whatever reason. So I'm going to say they're selling out 30,000 to 40,000 easy every time.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's great. It's great. Another thing, real quick, is the beauty of soccer. There's so many things going on. The Confederations Cup is going on right now.
What?
Right? So this is a exactly, Bill. I actually had to do some research because I was like, what am I watching here? So 8 teams. It's a pre-World Cup. The World Cup's in Russia in 2018. Next summer. This is a pre-tournament, and it's 8 teams. So you have the host nation and all of the tournament winners. So I think Mexico is the CONCACAF. Thank you. I have trouble with that one. You have Portugal won the UEFA European Championship. So basically you have the host nation plus 7 of tournament winners are playing, and it's going on right now. So
and I saw Mexico came back with a stoppage time goal to tie Portugal.
Did you see that?
I did see that. I had it off of a set. a header off a set play. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
I mean, what a heartbreaker if you're Portugal. What, I mean, God, you're just shot of adrenaline life if you're Mexico. Yeah. So they're doing what they call group play, which is they have, you know, two sides of four. They play each other. The top two teams advance, and then they'll have the knockout stage. So it's typical tournament format. Again, with basketball and hockey going down, if you have some time, catch some Confederations Cup.
Hey, Todd, our soccer insider. What's up with Ronaldo? What's up with Ronaldo trying to leave Spain because of taxes or something? So he's off. You think he'll leave Real Madrid? Is that going to happen?
So the transfer rumor, and I did see this too. I'm not making it up.
Our insider is
Manchester United, the Premier League. Bill's going nuts right now.
My team, yes. He's a United fan.
Those rumors, who knows how?
Oh, I hate super teams. We don't need super teams.
Yeah. So God, nerd alert. I'm warning everyone, nerd alert. So the obvious joke is Lionel Messi, considered the number one player in the world, just got tax evasion charges and he settled. So Ronaldo, the 1A/2, they're like, you want to be so much like Lionel Messi that you have your tax evasion charges. It's like $30 million. I mean, hire an accountant, dude. I mean, come on. You have all the money in the world. So I think he'll settle up. He'll be fine. But, gosh.
I just picture him, like, sitting at home, like, trying to read the TurboTax, like, rule instructions, going, like, all right, enter name. Ronaldo, last name. No last name. You know?
Yeah.
I tell you, the money, there's two sports I don't think we in the States just don't get, right? One is soccer on an international level. The other is F1, Formula One racing.
Sure.
Oh, gosh.
Michael Schumacher, for years before his accident, was making in the $70 to $80 million a year range as a driver in F1.
Yes.
And then I've said this before, but in 1999, Rupert Murdoch offered $1 billion for Man U, and they said, no, not enough.
That's awesome.
Almost 20 years ago, they turned down $1 billion. So what are they worth today? It's awesome. Yeah.
Sean, I'm going back to TurboTax. He's like, enter employer's name, Real Madrid. So, it's not coming up. We don't have it.
Yeah, so funny. So, guys, let me hit really quick, Todd. Tell me what you got coming up this week.
Oh, man, I'm taking tomorrow off. Gonna take a personal day and enjoy time with the family, and then just hitting the grind. It's not a travel week. Kids are home for the summer, so I'm grounded in the home office, but that has a beauty in all of itself. I have a chance to catch up on some things and go through some old files and clean things up and hopefully discover some opportunities I can close. So it's going to be a kind of in-house clean things up week, but it's actually, you can find some gold nuggets when it comes to that sometimes.
Yeah.
So,
right. A lot of the focus is in the follow-up, right? The fortune's in the follow-up.
Yes, sir. So looking forward to a quiet but productive week.
Good. Bill, I really enjoyed your chat number 98 with Billy Okofo, a good buddy of mine. And who you got for 99 before you tease us with number 100 of the real estate session. Man.
So episode 99 is I got on the C21 Redwood Jag. Sorry, okay. Mr. Cobalt Banker. Feel bad.
It's okay. They're good people.
Tara Christensen is my guest for episode 99. Crazy Peter Brewer was in the background through some of the interviews, so you'll enjoy that with him piping in every now and then, because I was interviewing her while she's in Brisbane, Australia with her man, Peter. So
awesome.
That's going to be number 99. And then I'm on the road this week, believe it or not, back down to Lee County. We're doing some great things down there. I've mentioned it a couple times already, but I'll be there for 3 days. Already have a bunch of appointments trying to help people be smarter with technology and help them grow their business.
Great. Well, I look forward to that. And for me, guys, it's a home week, just like Todd. I'm going to be going deep into the CRM and just kind of updating things and just trying to make a lot of contacts, be taking Ryan to some golf practices and some golf lessons, and just trying to organize some events for my fall schedule. So probably look at some flights and some hotel schedules and things like that. Bill?
I wanted to compliment you and just say that you don't just say that to say that on the stare down. We got a great card from you this week. And my compliments to you for that follow-up and that work, because you would think of someone, I'm not saying I'm important, but someone in my position who has contact with a lot of different people, I get one or two of those a year, and one's always from you. So that's amazing follow-up. That's amazing paying attention to who's in your sphere. So kudos for doing the work that you, for practicing what you preach.
One block at a time, baby.
Yep, that's it. I love it.
Each day, right? So so five a day, and eventually I'll get around to you. Todd, you got yours probably a couple weeks ago, right?
I did, man. I appreciate it. I've gotten more than one also. And by the way, Bill, you get one or you get two or three a year and one or two from Sean. I get 2 a year and they're both from Sean. So well appreciated.
That's awesome.
It's time for me to reiterate, use these guys as resources. If you have anything real estate, talk to Sean or talk to Bill when it comes to the other end of the business. So
cool.
Good. Well, hey guys, it's always fun chatting with you guys. We caught up on the week and then we turn our attention. We got two more majors coming up in the next like 6 weeks. So it'll be fun and we'll focus on that. But until then, on behalf of Bill and Todd, I'm Sean Carpenter. We'll catch you next week.